Welcome again to our fortnightly Awaken Talks and in conversation with Meenakshi and Anshu. As an all-volunteer offering, each Awaken Talks, you know, is a conversational space that is co-created by many invisible volunteer hands. And in a few minutes, our moderator, Gopal Garg, will begin by engaging in an initial dialogue with our speakers, Meenakshi and Anshu Gupta. And by the top of the hour, we'll invite all of you to share your questions and reflections. At any time, you can submit a question or a comment using the webcast form on our live screen, on our live stream page. You can also email us at askask@servicespace.org. And just a friendly reminder, we are operating in a virtual space with the usual constraints of technology. Overloaded bandwidth and audio issues, etc. So things can and will go wrong and have gone wrong so many times. So please know that if there is a technological glitch or other issues for any of the active speakers, each will quickly come back. So we really thank you for your understanding and ask for your understanding. Our moderator today is Gopal Garg, who is a service-based volunteer and is currently the director of ecosystems at Ashoka. He was also co-founder for Youth for Jobs Foundation, one of India's leading nonprofit organizations in the field of skills training for people with disability and creating inclusive spaces. After nearly two decades of untiring work in this place, he decided to follow his heart's beat, which he's always done, but again, and went on a six-month-long walking pilgrimage with his wife and daughter. So an incredible human being. So it's an honor, Gopal, to have you and the guests. And I'll now invite Gopal to introduce our guest speakers today, Meenakshi and Anshu Gupta, and get the ball rolling. Yes, Gopal.
So thanks, Jignasha. Thanks for a long introduction. Welcome everyone to Awaken Circle again. And thank you everyone. Thanks Meenakshi and Anshu for joining us today. It's really a joy to have you people. I don't think you need a real introduction, but for the sake of audience, I think it's good to give some tidbits to them before we get into the discussion. So yes, Meenakshi is the co-founder of Goonj, and being in a communication career spanning more than 15 years, which also includes a news publicity head with BBC South Asia. Later to that, she joined Goonj full-time in 2005. And from the beginning, she has been part of Goon's journey to be the communication strategy or co-authoring 100 stories of change or focusing on women and menstrual hygiene issues or strengthening its foundational values. She has really been a backbone. Widely traveled and trained dance movement facilitator, which is an amazing thing to know about Meenakshi, and also with her time with people in the deep interiors of India as her biggest learning. So our friend Anshu is a founder of Goonj, presently the director also. And Anshu holds a master's in economics and a double major in journalism. And Anshu is from Indian Institute of Mass Communication, the eldest child in the middle class family from Dehradun. As a graduate student, he traveled to Uttarkashi in North India in 1991 with the relief effort work. And I think that was the seeding of Goonj, if I should say. So, and Anshu, popularly known as India's clothing man, embodied an instinctive empathy and connect with people, moving the focus from conventional giver's pride to the unconventional receiver's dignity. So also the Ramsen Magsaysay Awardee 2015 conferred to him on his vision of transforming the culture of giving in India. And I think he has taught me and many of us in India and globally on what giving and receiving means. So, and he has been an enterprising leadership in treating cloth as a sustainable development resource for the poor and in reminding the world that the true giving always respects and preserves human dignity. Goonj redistributes over 5,000 tons of used clothes annually, and Goonj's flagship programs are Cloth for Work, Not Just a Piece of Cloth. And of course, we'll hear more about how this work deep dive into self-transformation for them and also transforming the world outside. Incidentally, Urvi, their daughter, born in the same year as Goonj. So if I may call, Goonj is their first or a second child. So that's how they have two children. So, and Goonj has also remained as their parents. So With that, really excited to have you, Anshu and Meenakshi, on Awaken Talks today. So I know a lot has been happening in last 8 months, and I think the whole world is in a transformative stage. For some people, it is shock. For some people, it is self-introspection. I'm sure for Goonj itself, it's a big transformation, like other organizations in India. And also for personally, for you people, it must be an overwhelming experience. So would love to hear from you how it has been for you guys, and how did you live this 8 months, and what is emerging from you from there?
So I would say interesting, complicated journey, and interesting in the sense that, I mean, fortunately, I love challenges for sure. I mean, and obviously we never knew that challenges will happen in this particular way and to this extent. But and because you are ultimately you are looking after an institution which is now 1,000+ people, literally as a formal informal team, where even the livelihood depends of these people. You are running an institution where 70-80% people come from that so-called strata of the society or income group, the people who are literally walking on the roads exactly at the same of the same level in terms of incomes and the insecurities in life. And so good to see that at least none of our person was walking in, you know, on the roads in those tough days. We were standing together as a family. We were doing our job, which was very complicated. And I often joke with people that, you know, we are in the era where even if you bring, you know, 1/2 kg potato or onion from the market, you keep washing that for 30 minutes. And when you peel it, even then you are worried that the virus is there. And here you are who, you know, as an institution, where it is a moral responsibility, and because we are meant for this, we have dealt with almost 4.1 million kgs of ration itself in the last, say, about 7-8 months. 4.1 million kg of ration itself. And that way, every package had a virus. I mean, if we start worrying about, thinking about that. So two things I would say. One, and a hugely, hugely learning phase. Number two, A lot of, you know, somewhere I would say satisfaction, because as you know, Gopal, that in the last seven, eight months, we both often we call ourselves a COVID family now, you know, which is not a good or bad term, but that's what the reality is. That I went through COVID, and then after that COVID journey, I was hospitalized twice. Mini has gone through COVID. Other family members have gone through COVID. And as a so-called founder, what makes you happy is breaking that entire myth in the world. Because a lot of people I remember used to say Goonj is equal to Anshu Gupta or Anshu Gupta is equal to Goonj. And I'm pretty sure that now that myth, we always knew that this is not the case, right? We were always very confident about the system, process, team, beautiful people around us, but people had this myth, unfortunately. I think that myth is broken. The way this beautiful team has really taken up the entire thing, because otherwise, very simple thing that if head of the family goes through some complicated, tough phase, one way to deal with it is that all of us are afraid of it and say, oh no, if it can happen to him, it can happen to me also. Why should I go to office? Why should I do this? For me, life is more important, you know, than packing some material or reaching out to people. But I think none of the team person really, you know, went in that mode of depressing thought process. But we all fought it. And the other important part is that it's not easy to break your own systems and processes which you create in the last 2 decades. And suddenly, as a team, you don't even sit physically. You, because Zoom has become God, so you suddenly sit on Zoom and then decide that whole lot of systems and processes which we have created, we need to revisit every single system and process. We need to find new systems so that we can respond to this huge crisis. I mean, an institution which is known for dealing with clothes, utensil, footwear, all other material, has also done 200,000 kgs of fresh vegetable purchases from the last farmer, right? So figure-wise, this might be small or big, but as an institution, team which has not even bought 100 kg of bhindi or potato in one go, is buying in quintals and buying on fair prices and reaching out to the farmers and making sure that the dignity is maintained, making sure that there is no distress buying. I think all this is learning. And last point, till date, we used to imagine village as a village. And so when we used to go for this dignity for work exercise, which is called cloth for work, where we make roads, build, dig well and all that, all those hardcore infrastructure work. I mean, last financial year, we have made or repaired about 500 kilometers of road. I mean, one aspect of Goon's work, which people hardly know, what are we doing with this material in the barter or in this particular thing? I think that work really went on. The dignity was maintained despite lockdowns, despite all kind of fear. So we literally devised, those systems. And I feel happy about it that somehow there was a mandate to us because we chose this life. And somehow, whatever little, I mean, if you see the whole volume of the issue, in that whole volume of the issue, we must have done only this much. But at least the people, the volunteers, the team were on it. I think that's something which is important for us in this last many months.
I think in the larger context, and when we look back at the last 8 months of a personal journey, organizational journey, what the world is going through, I think we are still in the midst of a disaster. I think that reality is true for all of us. And I guess because we've been working also on natural disasters for the last, 20 years, I think we've seen that kind of a resilience from the people who have very little. And when it comes home, when a disaster comes home to, you know, as a personal thing, when four or five people in the family almost simultaneously have COVID and you have to be the caregiver and be the patient and all of that, it is overwhelming. It is truly overwhelming. And it is the time to actually pull all the strengths that you have together to be able to make sense of. So how do you respond to this? How do you respond to a personal disaster? How do you respond to an organizational thing? How do you respond to the world? I think at many levels, one had to make sense of it. We had to make sense of it for ourselves as an individual. We had to make sense of it as an organization. We had to make sense of it as a world. And I think the fact that many of us have to look at things all over again, like just clean slate. Let's start all over again. I think that, thankfully, what Anshu is talking about, I think in a nutshell, for me, it is about the ability to adapt, the ability to say that, okay, we are ready to let go of the things that we built and, you know, sort of come to this reality and respond to it. I think that on many levels, that's how we've tried to live it.
Wonderful. I think I should really kudos to the team of Goonj, I think, who could really reach so far. And I understand being a frontline service provider, you know, you have to go through many things. So, and it's really, it will be interesting to know, because I can see like the world is getting devastated, or there's a lot of things happening outside, a lot of things happening to you at a physical level. You both have gone through such difficult phases. What do you think has been your resilience trait, or what has been happening inside which is giving you strength? I think that will be really good to know what happens inside to bring what comes outside.
I think like I was saying, that we have been working in disasters, natural disasters, as you rightly said, as a frontline organization. So I think the teams have get that strength from the people. I think we get a lot of strength from the people. I've always been, not just in COVID, but for the last 20 years, I think our biggest strength, learning ground, our sense of hope comes from the people. And when you see people coming out of, you know, huge natural disasters with nothing left, no home, no jobs, I mean, maybe some personal loss as well, family member, it's all of that. And then you still get up and, you know, you want to live, you want to do something. And I think that, having been standing with that with for the last 20 years, I think the teams have been phenomenal. I think all of us had, when this whole thing started, all of us had fear. You know, that was one constant, that is one constant that we are all working with. It's like a background thing that is already always there. But how each of us came through and responded to that fear is what I think the teams have really, you know, worked on very, very, very beautifully.
I think a lot of things, to be honest, Gopal. The fact that you have adjusted that for the last 8 months, you have not gone out to have Golgappas. And you're looking forward to go back to the thela. I mean, that might be my aspiration to go on. Why not? Because that's what I love. And at the end of the day, in the middle of all these so-called big jargons, big works, big data figure, what makes you happy is one nice patla jalebi and a few golgappas. I mean, that's what you live on. I mean, I'm very upfront about it. That's why I remember Nipun Bhai's Namak of Wednesday, you know, in San Francisco, more than your awakening circles and everything, which I obviously, you know, love a lot. The other thing is, I think the God or something, we don't know whether that is God or whatever, gives you a chance in your life, you know, to do something much better than what you're doing already. So let's take it as a chance. Let's take it as a chance to not to give back, but to pay back. Because we are in the karja, we are in the debt of every single person who has made house for me, or who has been feeding me. When I say me, I represent millions of people, you know. And we still dare to, or we still, you know, I mean, it's a distorted process, thought process, that we are still calling farmer a beneficiary, despite the fact that we are benefited by the farmers again and again. And then the privileges which we have. So if we share personal journey, when I went through COVID, I had a separate room and a washroom, right? When Minnie went through, she also had the same thing. And hundreds and thousands of people like us, when we went through, if nothing else, we had connections in the hospitals. We had best possible medicines available. We even had connect with maybe some pharma company to reach out, ki boss, can you give it anything? But when I see 70-80% of my team itself, I'm not even talking the larger world. I know that those 70-80% people are living in one single room. And a family of 5 to 6 do not have access to all the chavanprashes and all those things which we think are very beneficial. We don't know. There is no scientific proof, but still we think. And as of now, whatever you think you eat, you do in this kind of disease. So we have those privileges, with us. And every day, when you live this life, you have to count on those privileges for sure. I mean, we are a sum total of that. So Goonj, or whatever we do beyond Goonj, is not what I am doing or what Mini is doing or what couple of us are doing. It is a sum total of those hundreds and thousands of people who are taking much bigger risk. I have the privilege to go to my office and do a proper Dettol and Cevlon bath every day, thinking that the virus has gone away. But Goonj is made of those thousands of people who do not have those privileges in going to the public toilets. I think all that we really, really have to remember. And I tell you, I mean, not a joke actually, but generally, a friend of mine, close friend of mine, called up after the COVID thing, because obviously my COVID was not public, you know, and why should you make it public, you know, because it's your, I mean, why do you want to, as my mother used to say, ki ye jo kehte hai na, ki dukh baatne se halka ho jata hai, ki when it becomes halka. So she always used to say ki dukh baatne se halka nahi hota hai, wo tumhare liye halka ho jata hai. But jisko tum baatte ho, usko to bhari kar dete ho.
Bhari pad jata hai.
Usko to bhari pad jata hai. Tumhare liye halka ho jata hai. Dukh baatne se halka nahi hota hai. So anyway, so this close friend of mine called up and she was very furious, angry. And she's like, ki, kya tarika hai ye? You didn't tell me you were going through this and that. I said, boss, the day I'm recovered, I'm posting, you know, I'm telling people that I'm recovered. And in any case, tell me one thing, that if it was a case when I was physically ill, you were allowed to visit, so you would have come back with those 2 kgs of mosambi to me and all those, you know, fine. But abhi to wo bhi chance nahi hai. So, and in this particular disease, even I'm talking about May end, and I said that even medicines are not made away, fine. So what matters for a whole lot of us, maybe more than the dawa, is the dua. Right? The blessings. And all of us in our life, if we just are on the right path, right? Right path means just doing whatever we should do, at least let's not harm people. Let's not boast what we are doing, but let's not harm people. Intentionally, let's not harm people. And I think many of us are confident about it, that we must have made mistakes. We must have harmed people also in our doings, but none of that was intentional. So if nothing else, we have earned those blessings. And I'm pretty sure that in our life, those blessings play a major role. If you get up in the morning and someone wish you good, and someone just says that maine aapke liye mannat mang li, you know, it gives you such huge strength. ठीक है यार, डॉक्टर से तो मैं मिल ही रहा हूँ, दवा तो मैं खा ही रहा हूँ, बट ये चार लोग और हैं जो मन्नतें भी मांग रहे हैं, बॉस चादर भी चढ़ा के आ रहे हैं मजार पर. व्हाट डू यू नीड? आई मीन, वी आर नॉट रिलेटेड बाय ब्लड, वी वर नॉट बॉर्न यू नो फ्रॉम द सेम मदर और फादर, एंड स्टिल देर आर पीपल हु आर विशिंग. आई थिंक दैट इज व्हाट आई हैव बीन टेलिंग पीपल ऑल्सो, कि दिस इज द टाइम व्हेन यू कॉल इट द जीरो ईयर. So this zero year is basically meant for understanding the value of relationships, standing with each other, because all of our 5 years, 10 years projection, the fanciest airports ultimately failed. Sab band pade hain wo.
Yeah.
Projection barbaad ho gaye. Okay. What mattered ultimately is my next door neighbor, my brother or sister, whom I was not valuing in my life. Right? That those public health center, PHC center, which were never valued in this country, that ASHA worker to whom we don't even pay the salary of our house help that way. I think that is what we all need to learn, and that's what we've learned in the last 6-8 months absolutely thoroughly.
Yeah, wonderful. No, that's really an important perspective, Meenakshi and Anshu. Because we are seeing the world outside is really changing, and I think people are taking it, different people are taking it in a different way. And as you also rightly pointed out, we started valuing whom we were not valuing it earlier. So, but that also gives me a really inquisitive to know, in all these difficult situations where you are going through, your team is going through, and because this pandemic is such where people are scared, I think this is the most scariest thing. Where, as you said, your friends even cannot come and give you that, you know, 2 dozen of sweet lime so that you can get well. But in all these conditions, you are standing tall and strong. Your team is standing tall and strong. So do you see any of the practices you have been doing at an organization level or at an individual level which has helped you to stand strong? Because I have seen many organizations falling short, or even many big organizations have really collapsed. So can you share some of those best practices, some of the practices at individual and organization level?
I can say a couple of those, and then maybe Mini can add a lot. One for sure is that it's not an organization, it's a family. Let's just have a base of it, fine? Because this is the world where we really value softwares and machines and laptops and buildings a lot. half of those remained closed. It's very simple and will remain closed even in the time to come, because there is nothing like post-COVID. It is with COVID. And that's what the world really needs to understand. And with COVID will remain. I mean, when the world couldn't afford the simple basic immunization for so many other diseases, if we have this fancy that, you know, the anti-COVID stuff will happen in the next 6 months or 1 year. I mean, these are all fancy launch dates, but these are not the dates when every single person will get it, right? So one is we are as a family. Second, a lot of youngsters personally with whom I work, fine, in so many other spaces. And obviously they are worried about their institution, their families, a whole lot of things. And I've been telling everyone a single thing that boss, sustenance will only happen when you survive. So can we imagine that this is a survival mode? As head of the organization, my instruction or my advice to my team was very clear. And I'm using my word because this was a time, I normally don't use the I word in my conversation, but this is a time where you literally had to play that I role also, because someone has to lead from the front. Someone has to give that courage. Someone has to, bring more risk taking abilities in the team. And I remember telling everyone, until today I am saying that, yes, it's not that we have got a lot of money, because a lot of money was needed. A lot of money has gone to the government funds, to other funds, to hospitals and all that. But my thing was very clear to the team that even if we finish off every single penny which we have got for COVID relief in 3 months, I'm absolutely fine. Because for us, most important is that how many people can get dal chawal or khichdi right now, because they need to survive. If they survive, they will figure out something in their own life, the way millions of people have been figuring out in the last so many decades also. Not that each one is affected by us or each one is impacted by us. And all that looks very fancy, 1 million life change. But we all know that's a wrong fudged data. I mean, in the world where you can't change your own life in the lifetime, how do you claim million life change? So all that is data. Right? So we were very clear about it. Third thing is that even the people who were very remote daily wager with us, literally, who used to come occasionally when the truck has to be loaded or unloaded, we actually reached out to each one of them, making sure that their food is secured. And, you know, Gopal, I think one thing which the world needs to understand now, that world is actually divided in just two parts. All we can talk about Hindu, Muslim, Christian, whatever, all that, obviously politicians will keep doing for their entire life. But otherwise, for people like me and you, the world is divided in two parts. One, the people who have food, the others, people who do not have food. Every single person who had food remained inside homes, and every single person who didn't have food was forced to go out on the road. It's a very simple thing. So we just had to be careful about two things. One is that every single person who is there around us, not only the team, but the larger world, if we can make sure that the food is secured. And then you go to the larger world and see what can you do. And how do you keep the dignity of people intact? How do you make sure that when you're giving a sanitary pad to someone, you're not clicking a picture? Because that lady never came to you asking for a sanitary pad. It was just a desperation right now that she wanted a sanitary pad. And whole lot of us, if we didn't have safe space or food, we would have been there on the roads. I mean, so beautifully, a couple of my team members in the team meetings have told, in the Zoom meetings are called team meetings now, they've said that if we were not there, but as an institution or as people, even they would have been on the road, because at the end of the day, you need food. You need a little bit of rent for that. So my sadness somewhere is that this country, the middle class, should have done much, much more, which does not mean that I'm not valuing what people have done. Large number of institutions and people have done a lot. That's why huge amount of hunger, deaths and all didn't happen. But we, as a country, we as group of people who can afford so much of time on Zoom, listening to people like us, can certainly do much more. And this is a time to do more. And this is exactly what we're doing. And or one more thing in the team part, because you're asking. On 17th March, we told people, go home. If you're from Assam, operate from Assam. If you're from Tamil Nadu, book your ticket, go home. Because most important part right now is, where do you feel safe? Where do you feel secure? Where do you feel loved? I mean, my question is that these millions of people were walking on the road. What were they looking for? Why so many people actually said that we want to go home, because if nothing else, we will die there. At least hum apne logo ke saath mein marenge. We will die with our own people. That was the sentiment. And people who were comfortably sitting at home, they were saying wrong things about them. So many of them. Matlab, why the police was beating them? They were not asking. They were not stealing. They were just walking towards their home. How can you beat someone who is going home? Tell me one thing. How can you beat that person? So that made us very sad. That made us very unhappy, that entire thing. But yes, I mean, as a team, we were very clear that we are not worried about our resources. We will take as much precautions as possible. We cannot keep our offices closed. We cannot take leaves right now. We cannot say that we will only work for 8 hours, because this is the time when we have to respond. And it's so beautiful to see that the NGO sector in this country, apart from the normal, the common human being, have really done a commendable job. Whether they are valued or not, those are political issues, but they have done a tremendous job. And we are just one of them. We are not like, something which we have done a lot of big, mahan, great work. We are just one of those beautiful institutions who took risk, who also had the equal risk of the virus, who didn't know anything about it. Their families were also at a stake. Their health was also at a stake. And these hundreds and thousands of institutions did a good job, whatever they could with limited resources.
I think I personally, if I was to sort of assimilate what Anshu is all trying to say, is I think for even before COVID and as an organization which has been working on some of the so-called non-issues, the people and the processes, which is more important. It's always the people, right? Processes are meant for people, and people within the organization, people outside the people for whom we're working. So I think in COVID, I think those boundaries completely fell off. The fact that we're talking about team in a different way, or we're talking about the people who are, because everyone is affected by the disaster, including ourselves. So one has to actually then, the word empathy really takes a whole different meaning. You embody it, you live it, you think about it. It just goes back to the thing that what we were taught as children, do unto others what you would like to be done to yourself. It really gets down to the fundamentals of how you imagine when Anshu talks about the team being a family. In a family, when you're in a crisis, which all of us are, you trust your family members. You think of what they are going through. You think of not just the professional, but also the personal. You have to then function from a different space altogether. And if it is something that you've been doing before COVID, and that's how we've been looking at, because we personally feel the biggest asset of Goonj is the people it has. They've made it possible to reach out to the remotest areas. They've made it possible to work in this COVID pandemic, to still go out and reach material to people, to still go out and deal with their own fears. So how do people do that? When you trust them, when you allow them, when you sort of put entire faith in them that whatever you do, we'll stand with you. That's it.
Yeah, no, really well said. Yes, Anshu.
Well, you know, and a guilt, although I'm not a person who normally repent or have guilt and all that kind of thing. And I've kept myself a little bit away from that, because otherwise though, there are a lot of bad things we keep doing, you know. But this time I will have my little bit of guilt or something in my life for sure, because at the end of the day, apart from doing all of the things, I'm also supposed to handle the institution and the group of people, not only as a motivator or as an inspiration, but also as an administrator. Right? And administration is not a good job. It does make people unhappy sometimes. And not only me, some of us had to take those decisions also, you know, because how do you really move people out of that fear and say, boss, it has to happen? Because it's easy to say, but there are 1,000 people and 1,000 people operate in 1,000 different ways, right? But you have to bring that synergy to respond to something so big, which has never happened in our life. And we are just hoping that it'll never happen in our life again. So those administrative decisions, those marking your attendance on time, otherwise it will be considered leave. Fine, you know, I cannot give you 30 days leave for your marriage here. Fine, I mean, all those decisions which otherwise I never used to take, there was larger team which was taking, but this time all those complicated a smaller thing also come back to you, and which is fine. I mean, you know, because when you are revisiting your institution, when you're redoing a lot of stuff in the new era, there are some those small nut bolts also, you have to be a part of it, you know, and there is no harm in it. I mean, it does not mean that you have not left it to people. It is still with people.
Yeah, no, wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. I think what I clearly see, Goonj is really an embodiment of service, which we all know. But more than that, I'm also realizing and learning from you on how you have built resilience, agility. I think all the fancy words, Anshu, what you were talking about in the management jargons, I think you're living with it. So I'm sure all the management consultants or pictures should look at learning from you people. Really, because I've been working for organizations last 20 years and we talk about family, but I could really see that happening here. So standing together, believing, and Meenakshi, what you talk about trust is, I think that takes the whole lead. So when you trust somebody, because in family we trust, that's why we call it as a family. And when you have an extended family of Goonj, I'm sure you are bigger than, you know, anything else.
So, yeah, very rich that way.
so that's really heartful to know. And I'm sure the audience who are listening to us, if you have any comments or any questions to ask, please click the button below the live page where it's streaming, and you can put your comments or questions there, or you can also email at askask@servicespace.org. So with that, we'll continue with you, Meenakshi and Anshu. Also curious to know, I think it's about 21 years, Goonj is working, reaching out to so many people, and you're really redefining a lot of things. So, but want to know what has changed from a 21 year back Anshu and now Anshu, if I see, and similar to Meenakshi, maybe you can take vice versa. Meenakshi, what do you see in Anshu changing? Apart from being he growing old, I'm sure he doesn't look so old.
You can't talk to him about going. This is one very taboo subject in our house.
Yeah, but apart from that, what do you see change in him? And Anshu, vice versa, what do you see change in Meenakshi in last 20 years?
Do I see? Oh my God, I haven't really gone into that to prep for this one. What do I see change? I think in some ways, I think the journey of being a leader, I think, has been has really sort of made him sort of look at his own thought process about things. Some of the things haven't changed. His belief in people hasn't changed. I mean, those things, and you know, like he was saying, as an administrator, as running an organization of 1,000 people, there are a lot of ups and downs. You put something out there and it doesn't work and all of that. But his faith in people has been so steadfast and it makes you wonder also, how does he go on with that? Because I tend to sort of get pulled down a little bit. I think what has changed is, I think something which is probably not so nice is that he seems to be more angry. than he was earlier. I think he's getting angrier somehow. So I don't know what to do about that. He's much more, with his anger also comes this direct thing is, you know, he's in English, there's a word, no, pulling your punches. He's not pulling his punches. He's becoming more and more sort of, he's not willing to sugarcoat what he's trying to say to the world or to his team. He's becoming more and more direct and more, probably because this COVID has also brought in a sense of urgency. If we don't do it now, then it'll, you know, this is the only, the one opportunity to actually address the issues which needed to be addressed even before COVID. So I think in that sense, he's becoming, we call him the angry young man in the house, but you know, but those things have become so, I guess the more he's getting exposed to the realities, the more he's going into disasters and dealing with things. And so he's becoming more articulate with those concerns. I think COVID has made him much more sad. So I think he works tougher to create those moments of joy for himself, for us in the family and for the organizations. As a wife, I think I can go on and on, but I'll stop here.
I think about myself, to be honest, to start with, is that I think I'm in the constant phase of learning and also want to do something much, much more, much bigger, because I always feel that now that you have learned or whatever little in the last two decades, it needs to be used for much bigger thing, and the world needs that. So that is one journey on which I am personally right now. As far as Mini is concerned, I know that Mini has much more of intellect part, and unfortunately many times you are pushed into certain kind of admin thing also, which she doesn't like, which she's not meant for that at all. So sometimes she doesn't even like that why this mail is marked to me, because this is, you know, apart, so say from salary to leave to material management and all, no, I can bring the intellect part. So that way, I think in the last two decades, one of the things which Mini has done very beautifully, lot of people join the organization because of me, but they remain in the organization because of her. So, yeah, because after a certain point, I take the Dracula role also. For me, if I talk about myself, so for large number of people, I'm Anshu Bhaiya, as I'm known. Or for many people, I'm Anshu Sir. But Mini has remained Mini Di, you know, for last. So there must be something, you know, for sure that you can go and talk to her, and you can have a decent cup of tea with her and whatever, and she will give more personal space to the team, which is not a team, which is a family, where you can really discuss a lot.
I just wanted to add one thing. I think for both of us, I mean, and taking the liberty of speaking on your behalf, I think one of the things which has changed over the few years, and now it is becoming much more, maybe it's age, maybe I don't know what it is, but I think the awareness that we have limited time. I mean, we have a life. There is a finite time available going forward. And what we do with that time, that awareness is very, very, like, it's over and above everything. So every time, every day, when you make a choice of doing something, engaging with something, you are acutely aware that this time is there and what do you do with it? So that awareness, I think for me, certainly, I can speak for myself, that awareness is there that, okay, there are these only finite years in your life left. So what do you do with
it? Maybe I want to convert that into speed.
No. Yeah. So the sense of urgency, I guess, that's where it comes from.
Yeah. No, beautiful. I can see how the power built up. I think it's two parts, but when it comes together, I can see, you know, and especially when you say, Anshu, yes, people come with your charisma, but they remain because that comfort or you know, that space is given by Meenakshi. So that's really beautiful and really nice to learn about it. Also, just to understand how these things reflect on your daughter, whether in your parenting, do you see things coming up? How do you see her growing up in all this?
So, very beautifully overall, for sure. I think one of the girls who doesn't have anything to do with the house we have or the car we have, or whatever, and she doesn't think that it's her right to have it in future at all. I mean, that is just one part of it. She's much deeper in understanding a lot of things. She's a person who questions a lot. One simple story which I can tell you is that a driving license was made for, and you know, I share this story. I must have shared 2-3 times for sure, because it's a very inspirational story for us as parents. And also, I think somewhere, you know, we all keep looking for something good which can put a stamp that we were right, our upbringing is all. We're very greedy, you know, kind of people in our life. So I remember that how a license, a driving license was made. And She went through all the cycles of going there, this, that, and all that. And then one of the person, known friend, was looking at it just to do that. And then later on, we realized that person has actually paid 5,000 rupees for that license, right? Which was a very huge shock for all of us. That, you know, when someone is going again and again and taking care of the process, not asking for shortcut, which we have never done in our life, how come, you know, you've paid money? But that person took the liberty, because that's the norm in this country. You know, I mean, the rishwat is such a common thing that you don't even question. You will not believe, Gopal, she has not touched that license till date. It's been almost 2 years. She has not been able to drive. And it's becoming very complicated for us that how do we really cancel that license and get a new license made. But as parent, we know that until unless she has a new license, you know, with her 100% effort, without any rishwat, she will not drive the car. So I think that is something we feel good, that value system is gone just because she's grown with the team who have never treated her like a kid, or with this value system or these conversation. And all these have also come at a very heavy cost. I am pretty sure that she has a lot of pressure on herself, you know, must be. We are very sure that she has to go out for a year or two, do literally 0 year type, which should not be called 0 year, which are the learning years. And she has to do a lot of unlearning, because, you know, what she has learned here is not the only truth of the world. You know, this is just a very small fraction of the truth which two of us or this ecosystem of Goonj or family can give. She has to really, really learn a lot. And she's experimenting. She's doing in the pandemic part of 6 to 8 months now. She has become one of the beautiful cook who can even treat you Thai dishes now. So please come home and you will find something, you know, beyond khichdi and pulao. She can treat you that. But that's how she's growing. I certainly have a little bit of regret on that, because I used to travel 15 to 20 days a month. I don't know why. Now you obviously revisit your life and say, why was I traveling? You know, were those lectures so important? But maybe must be. So that's where one fine day you suddenly realize that, oh, she's grown. She's in college. She's in the fourth year of college. Now she's doing that bachelor's in elementary education. But I'm thankful to the last, say, about 2 years, and most importantly, this pandemic, this virus. It has brought us much closer. I think at least two of us used to love each other. Two of us had a lot of respect for each other, but maybe we were not spending time. So, and when you don't spend time with each other, a large part of it, you're not aware what is there. So I think this virus has given a lot of chance to us to spend more time together and at least see each other. I mean, we three of us are still operating from three different rooms because the life is all about Zoom and webinars. But still, you can see together, you can eat together, which was a luxury, which was not happening in our life for years. I think at least that has become a routine. That's so beautiful. I really cherish that.
Well, I think, certainly Anshu's sort of found his time. The regret has been that not being able to spend enough time with the last 8 months. That way, a gift. There is a silver lining to even to COVID. But I think largely, I think she's one person. I think one of the good things has been that she's one person who's aware and very conscious of her privileges in life. And for a 20-year-old, I think that's a very, very important thing. And like Anshu says, she has that thing of questioning. So I think the fact that she's able to reflect upon that is an important thing. I think that we all should do that often, as often as possible at any stage in life, to reflect about our lives and to sort of see what happened and where learn from that. Beyond that, I think she's we are happy to say that we've raised a good human being. We're happy to say we've raised an empathetic, compassionate human being. I think if as parents we've done that, I think rest is really just, you know, her own choices she makes. But I think if whenever she has to make a choice, she's more aware, she's more reflective, I think she'll make a good choice. I mean, so I think till that aspect, her work is done.
And I think we have been able to tell the larger youth and all that social sector does not mean ki aapki shaadi nahi hoti, you don't get married. And, you know, there are a lot of these nonsense kind of misconceptions about it. And you can have a family, you can have some time together. I mean, that's a different issue. That earlier we used to spend time only when I or Minnie are going for some lectures, and that's where, you know, we three travel together. And at least get a day for us, or a couple of dinners or lunches, which is certainly improved. And the way you spoke about me and Minnie in the earlier question, and one thing which I certainly need to say that I think in this in the life of Goonj and in the life of a family, Minnie's role has been the role of backbone completely. And also in my life, it's a much, much more important role, because in the last few years, when you get all these recognitions and when you get all these standing ovations and all that, we have seen in US recently, you don't know when the arrogance really goes here, when your language starts changing, right? And many times maybe, people in the team might not tell you in those many straight words. You know, although in Goonj, people have that liberty and people are very upfront in telling you that this is what it is. But I think that is a very beautiful role which Minnie has played in this entire journey. That how do we make sure that we all remain grounded? You know, because and our language does not change. That's the most important part. We treat people when I say people, ourselves also, in the same way. So it doesn't matter whether you get this award, that award. I remember someone telling me a few years back that Anshu, you have become very arrogant. And I objected. And I said, listen, you are absolutely wrong. I have not become arrogant. I am arrogant. Okay? Now, because whether arrogant is right or wrong, it's a different issue. But your perception and what you're perceiving and what you're telling me, you are telling on the basis of that someone has got a little bit of recognition, organization has grown. That's why that person has become arrogant. But if you do not know me for the last 10 years and you only know me for the last 3 years, how can you say I have become arrogant? Tell me that I am arrogant. I'm happy to listen to that. You know, whether I'm proud or not, I'll decide later. But I'm happy. But don't make those perceptions, those I don't want those preconceived notions about us.
Yeah. No, that's well said, Anshu. And really hats off to the values I think Urvi is really getting. Because really seeing a lot of malpractices or a lot of corruption outside, the youth especially get confused what path to choose. And I think when they make the right choices, they are also making the next world beautiful. So I think that's really important investment I see. And especially being a father to a 10-year-old daughter who is much younger to your daughter, I can resonate what you're talking about. Yeah. And thanks for talking about how people should not go into that arrogant stage, you know, when you get awards or accolades, because it's work which gets you that. So I think that work always remained open for you and front to you. So I think that has also helped you to ground it. So, and with that, you'll be really happy. There are a lot of questions coming from the audience. So I think I have to give a hold on my question and just jump on to the audience question. Otherwise, you know, audience, we want to really keep them in mind. So a couple of them are a little long question, but I'll read it for you. Let's see what the audience want to hear from you. So you highlighted that we have so many privileges despite when you have been going through so many hardships, which makes me wonder that we all have so many privileges, so many gifts, but a common issue which comes is we fail to see it. So many of us seems to have so much resources, but this feeling of gratitude is missing. And perhaps that's where the role of inner transformation comes in our life. In your life experience, what do you think has helped you in cultivating these eyes of privilege to the gifts in life?
I can answer for myself for sure, because I have a clear-cut answer on this, and which I have repeated in many sessions, and because that's the life reality, that's why it's important to repeat. This is 1998, and I'm leaving my escorts job, and a small calculation which happens, and the calculation is that I studied in one of the best institution of India, Indian Institute of Mass Communication. And the fees used to be a few thousand rupees, right? And the calculation was that if this fees was anywhere 50,000 rupees, 1 lakh rupees, whatever, you know, because ideally that should have been, then was it possible for my parents to pay? And because I know my absolutely honest middle-class family, where my father was transferred so often, and to the remotest possible place, being a government officer, and you know why he was getting transferred. There are only two kind of people who are transferred. One, extremely corrupt, other, extremely honest. And so, obviously he comes in that category. By the time I did my 10+2, I had already changed 7 schools, right? So, so you look back and you say that, was it possible for them to pay? And the answer came no. That was a day, Gopal. I think obviously I realized it much later. I articulated in these many words or in a story, I'm sure, much, much, much later. But that was a day I realized that I am the biggest product of subsidy of this country. Because large number of people pay taxes in this country. I mean, all these notions that only these many people pay taxes is actually absolutely wrong. That's a wrong narrative in this country, because the Ambanis of the world, the Guptas or the Anshus or Meenakshis of the world, or the farmer of the world, are paying exactly the same tax on a soap. Fine. So at the end of the day, this country is so funny and so tricky that the poorest, financially poorest people are actually paying much, much more taxes, and still they are called that they are not paying taxes. Right? That is the truth. So with all those people's money, I studied. That was my subsidy. All the farmers who are not even getting daily wages, with their subsidized food, I am alive. So I also realized that every single person who has ever gone to a government school, where I also went, government college, Delhi University, IIT, IIM, has eaten up the subsidy of this country in a big way. And at what cost? Even the people who have gone to the fanciest private schools have eaten up the subsidy, because, as I always say, land was given them, you know, to them at an absolute throwaway price. And I'm not saying we do not have any right on subsidy. As a normal citizen of the country, we also have some right, for sure. But then it is also a duty, then it is also a responsibility that we take it as a karja, we take it as a debt. So it's not giving back, it's paying back. If I can sit inside my home and do this webinar, and that labor remains outside who made house for me, if I can sit in this webinar and have a cup of coffee and also eat idli, that rice or coffee was grown by the farmer, and it's time for us to pay back. But that is what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that we should not have privileges. But if I have a right to have a swimming pool in my institution, every single village school also has a right to have a toilet, if nothing else, and a blackboard and a teacher. So because we have never believed in this equality, and because many of us think that just by paying taxes, whatever way our CA does the calculation on the basis of that, we feel that it is absolutely fine. We have done our duty. And maybe that is the reason we have come to this particular level. If a boy was stopped when he was whistling on a girl, if that boy was stopped at that time, it was 100% sure that he wouldn't have done a rape. But because we didn't take care of those things, and we found a solution for ourselves. Ki pani bahar beh raha hai to theek hai, pani nahi aa raha to koi baat nahi, let me fix up an RO, because I am privileged. And that is why the large part of the society remained without water, because I am privileged. I can buy a bottle for 80 rupees. But those people cannot.
And just to add to Anshu's point, I think on a very personal level, I think, you know, when I think of my journey in the last 21 years, I think it's been a huge privilege also to for all the love that we've gotten from people. You know? I remember many years ago, almost in the beginning of Goonj, we had gone to a village in Bihar, and there were people who were, you know, they were, you know, coming and touching our feet. And we were like, why? Why are they doing that? We haven't done like anything like that. And then we realized that there's somebody, like, just, it was Chhat Puja time, just after Diwali. This is one of the biggest festivals in Bihar. So we had, coincidentally, it had happened that they had received these cloth packets and all from Goonj at that point. And they were very, very grateful for that. They were so grateful, and we had no idea why they were. It was just a pair of clothes, and that too, like, you know, old clothes. Then we realized that for them, buying a piece of cloth as a mark of a festival was such a huge thing that it would often put many of them in debt. And so therefore, they were so grateful for the fact that they had a new pair of clothes to say that it is festival. those small things, I mean, those, and the kind of love and affection they were giving us as a result of that, it makes you really, really aware of where, how much, just because I'm born in a family in Delhi or, you know, born to parents who are like educated, and they've given me education. That's the only difference between me and them. You know, it really makes you aware. The more you go out into the world, the more you are open and, you know, engaging with the world, the more you realize that, oh, I am really good. What Anshu is saying, the privilege of having a gated community, of having, and then walking into a world where none of that is available to anyone. Just that, you know, just awareness is something where I think awareness about your privilege is a good first point. And then everyone responds to that differently.
And I think now that Mini had touched the anger part, I'm adding my anger in it. So somewhere, you know, in the last few years, I'm also extremely, extremely hurt because of the social media stuff. Fine. We all take advantage of social media, but it feels so bad when people in the name of motivating others expose anyone on this earth by giving khichdi or by giving sanitary pad and click those pictures and all that. And Gopal, we are also struggling because we also work with a few hundred partner organizations across the country. And there is a conditioning. There is a conditioning by the funders, by the money giver, that you need this picture, you have to put our name there. There are distorted people who even came to us sending their nameplate and said that when you give this sanitary pad to this woman, ask her to hold this. Can you ever imagine? I mean, do you do this to your wife or sister or mother? What is the difference between that lady and me? The only difference is that I am a born privileged. I was not born in one of the remotest possible tribal belt of India, you know, or the people jo mela dho rahe hain, main us ghar mein paida nahi hua jisme where I didn't have any control. It was decided by someone that who are going to be my parents. So I'm a born privileged. And I want to play with the life and take away the dignity of people who are not born privileged. That too, when I have decided what is the definition of privilege. That is also very selective. Huh? No one is complaining. They're happy. Right? They're eating once a day. They're not coming to you and asking for something. I think that mindset somewhere needs to shift to feel this society as a much better space. Once we feel that everyone has equal rights, it doesn't matter someone is wearing so-called dirty clothes or someone, you know, clean clothes, because these are our parameters. Let's talk about the heart. Let's talk about, I mean, how can we celebrate if a girl who does not have eyes is singing very nicely? Why do we celebrate that? What do you have to do with the eyes and singing? Anyone can become a very beautiful singer. So that girl is a singer. Don't talk about so-called disability before appreciating her such beautiful voice. No.
No, wonderfully put, Anshu and Meenakshi. And I think two things to draw from here is how can we all feel that we are privileged, and it's not just giving, but it's paying forward, you know, or paying back. I really love that way of interpreting it, because when we put it in that perspective, as it's not just you pay tax and say, I've done my job, but it's a lot of privileges we get. And thanks for talking about that. Also, you touched upon two things. Meenakshi, you talked about love somewhere, and Anshu, you talk about heart. Do you see some magic thing in when you talk about dignity and love, or do you see these two different subjects, or somewhere there's a combination of two? And that's also one of the questions from one of the audience.
No, I think that's dignity and that is, it's a sense of value. I mean, dignity from my understanding and for all of us, I think it's a sense of seeing the value in yourself and the other person. Anyone else, it's, and you know, to be honest, dignity is not something that you can possibly give to anyone. We're all born with that thing. So it is just at best for you to recognize that, to be to say that I am a witness to that dignity, acknowledge that dignity, yeah, respect that dignity. And that is the most, like, I think we all, you know, in this whole Maslow's theory of needs, you know, they say khana, food, clothing, shelter are one of the most basic physical needs that we have. Now, sense of value and a sense of purpose and a sense of being valued in the world that we live in is a very important need. And if once, and in our work, we know that that's why we've changed the work, the initiative to call it Dignity for Work. When you value somebody, when you value what they bring to the world, magical things happen. People come up on their potential like nothing else. I mean, we have seen that happen. People who are called unskilled and poor and, you know, they're uneducated and all, have made bridges, they've built wells. I mean, they've done amazing things. Without any outside intervention, without any technical consultants or experts going in. So, I mean, I am certainly, all this last 22 years of journey has brought a sense of awe for what can be achieved or what people respond to once you value them, once you respect their dignity.
And something which I don't like happening to me, fine. Why do I do it to someone else? I mean, if I don't want to be clipped while receiving food, if I do not want to be clipped I do not want to become a victim of charity myself, why do I make other people victim of charity? Because charity takes away your dignity. Charity instant is fine. It should not sustain. Charity might be a very beautiful subject of the doer, with all good intentions. I am again not doubting on the intention of people. You are trying to do something with all the good intention. I'm not doubting on that. But am I really careful about the person who is receiving it? Why did we see in this entire food distribution stuff during this disaster that a large number of people were, especially the women, were trying to cover their face? They have never asked for food. Rather, they used to come to our homes and used to make food for us. They are the food givers. They are the food makers. But this entire, you know, this disaster forced them to ask for food. But they never wanted to be seen. Hunger was forcing them to ask for something. Momentary. And the day they start cooking on their own, the day they are able to earn even 300 rupees on the way, they will not even come and receive food. They will not.
And so that is something we've seen in villages a lot.
Always.
Log jaan dete apni izzat ke liye, apni dignity ke liye. You know, people are not saying that they would want a lot from you, but respect.
In the middle of the flood, in the middle of the flood, in a boat you go, and in that house someone is asking for a cup of tea.
Yeah, they're inviting you for a cup of tea.
Hundreds of people we have seen. And the food which they have received in relief, they want to share it. And they are also somewhere a little bit shy because the plate is not, you know, clean, or there is no water to clean the plate, but they're still trying to share that food with you. This is the beauty of this world. This is the beauty of this country. It is people like us who have distorted lenses and by just, you know, what people are wearing and the way people are talking, and if they're not speaking like a couple of languages, we start deciding that who are these people. But that's not the reality. Those people are, or we are exactly the same. It is the lenses which are distorted.
Yeah, no, this has really been put up very nicely. And I'm also wondering then, when you design things, because I see Goons design from that dignity as a center to it. And again, just a follow-up question on, if the similar thing is designed on, let's say, love, or I see maybe in rural places when you are offered without anything, expectation in return, it's more of seva or love which just overflow in them. How do you see that combination of love and dignity happening? Or do you see, I'm again coming to love as a subject, because in service space we also say, how can you start loving? Because with that love, you just don't remain in that transaction mode, you know, it just overflow with you. So any experience or any thoughts on that?
I think the love really comes from a sense of connection. I mean, to me, it comes from a sense of connection. And if you understand that we are all connected to each other, and not only connected, we are interdependent, like we are there for each other. I think that kind of understanding, because, and it's very difficult. I mean, I've lived most of my childhood and school and college days in a city like Delhi. So I was never exposed to villages before I started, you know, in the work that we do. So for me, it was overwhelming for me when I went to a village first time and I was offered love without, you know, me having done anything to deserve it. And that was such a new thing for me, because you know, in a city like Delhi and any big metros, sometimes the neighbors don't know, talk to each other. Sometimes people are not, you know, sort of don't know kaun rehta hai side bagal ke makan mein. So for me, it was a new thing to understand that people can love you without you doing anything. And to understand that my life depends on them. I mean, they are the ones who are raised, you know, growing the food which I put on my table. So that is the kind of connection, if you're aware of that. And it's there. We don't get to see it, but it's right there.
No, and I saw it also. Apart from hugs, if you get chivda dahi, litti chokha, I mean, that's the love. What else do you need? You know, and I...
His love is sort of centered around food somehow. So you must have noticed.
And I remember, Gopal, you know, in one of the village, I think in Madhubani or somewhere we were there. In the night, we were roaming around. There was this family who made dahi for us, the curd, right? In a mitti ka thing. So they were very hesitant in offering, you know, because you go in a big car at the end of the day, fine. So they were very hesitant. So they offered. And me being me, I said, "Aur chahiye." I said, I need more, you know, because it was so lovely. You should have seen the gesture and the joy and the love what you're talking about. And I don't know how many pots of curd I had coming from all across, from all the houses there. To an unknown person who has never done anything to them. We didn't have any connections that way. On our way, we just stopped and we were just talking and all that kind of thing. So that love, that joy, that mohabbat is there in the air. It is a part of the culture.
I think somewhere we've been able to, the villages of India have been able to still keep that love and connection going. And I think we in the cities, we need to sort of go back to that and find that fundamental richness that we have in our world. It's there. We just need to tap into it.
And very cleverly, people of the city defame the villages on the basis of caste, community and all. Although we are much, much deeper, I mean, divide, if you see, we have much deeper divide, because our divides are not only limited to caste, community, but otherwise a whole lot of other status also. How many times have we seen in the villages where a lady is suffering and she has to give birth to someone and the entire village or women from other communities are not coming and helping her? Very rare. I mean, we have spent so much of time in the villages of India. When I say we, I'm talking on behalf of this huge team and hundreds of beautiful NGOs who are working there. So it's there in air, and it matters a lot. And now with COVID world, I think it has much, much more importance. Yeah. There are people who just want that someone listens. Nothing else. I mean, a whole lot of us are not looking for anything. They just need a phone call and says, "Fine, we're there." I mean, I remember you were talking about a team. We created WhatsApp groups of our teams, you know, so operation team already had, processing team never had those kind of WhatsApp groups, very active WhatsApp group. So all across the country, we created WhatsApp groups. of these few hundred women and all that. And that worked so well. Because if nothing else, a small fun video will go, some education will go, someone will share something, someone is singing something, and suddenly you are exploring it, you know, a new talent. And if nothing else, because of a WhatsApp group, they were still feeling that they are a part of a family. Just that simple WhatsApp group, which otherwise is a nuisance in our life in any case, all these groups, but that was such a beautiful thing.
I think we all want to be acknowledged in this world. We all want to be seen. And I think that's what love is. To me, that is what love is. When I see you and give you the total attention that you deserve, that's what love is.
Yeah. No, I think I completely resonate with that. And just to tell you about the food thing, yes, I worked in Bihar myself and such a lovely place. So I was one day offered in a buttermilk a sattu and then added onion on that. And it was hot summer. And they said, drink this. This will help you throughout your summer. And I was I really moved with that. And it has really helped me, you know, to keeping my body cool. So yes, really loving people. And I think there are a lot to love from them. So wonderful. And a lot to love from your team on self-expression. I think we all seek for the space of expressions. And I think what you're talking about, dancing, singing on a WhatsApp group itself is a space they created themselves to self-express themselves. So wonderfully put. I think just keeping time in mind, I'll take one more question from the audience. So this is from Clitus from Mumbai. Are there moments when you felt like giving up, as it doesn't make sense when faced with difficult situations? Especially political interference, what has been your mantra for facing challenges?
So, my favorite dialogue is Lage Rao, which is go on. And honestly, I can tell you that not in the last at least 21 years now, 22 years rather, not even a single day when we thought that we should close, we should not do this. Yes, there have been extremely, extremely tough times. There have been frustrating times. There have been bad political time to the disaster time. And as an institution, we have not only dealt with the disasters outside our institution. 2005-06, our entire Mumbai operation, 4,000 feet were in say, almost 6 feet water. Our Wayanad office is flooded twice. Our Cochin office is flooded. These are new offices. In 2015, we had fire, which was almost 4,000 square feet, 6 o'clock in the evening till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we lost almost everything that time. And this was a Diwali, on the day of Diwali. So none of us really celebrated Diwali, did any puja, uja, nothing. We were just looking at things, how these things are burning, you know. Whole night. But I just need to say one thing. I will quote that example to you know, answer your this particular thing. I remember when this fire was happening, and next morning 6 o'clock, all of us were back. You know, between 2:30 and 6, we went and we came back with our buckets and if we can still find something, which we didn't find. So. And then a whole lot of people were obviously worried, including the piece rate people, the daily wages, that now there will not be any job, you know, because the material is not there and such a huge loss. And on Diwali, we, I'm sorry, okay, I'm coming back to food, fine, but I can't resist. So on Diwali, we make like tons and tons of gulab jamuns for our team instead of buying it from the market. So till about 5:36, I still remember, I just went up on a tila, kind of a, you know, pile of that rubble. And I was standing there and a whole lot of people were crying, tired, all kind of stuff. And I said, listen, wo gulab jamun kahan hai? Where are those gulab jamuns? Right? And then suddenly everyone was surprised, and especially people from other roofs who were looking at us were also primarily surprised. Then a lot of gulab jamuns came because they were leftovers. And then we all distributed. We ate a huge amount of gulab jamuns in the middle of that rubble, whatever it was, because in any case, we had not celebrated Diwali. But it was not about gulab jamun. It was just a commitment to ourselves as an institution, where we said that from today, there will be two teams. one team which will clean this entire stuff, fine, so 70, 80 trucks, rubble and all that, because we have to make it operational again. And the second team will go to other stores and find out whatever we have. And we will work for 3 days. And the fourth day, our truck has to move out, right? And one truck means 9-tonner truck, which has almost 400 big, huge gunny bags, you know, which we do 8-9 tons of material in the truck. And you will not believe, I mean, obviously there were cheers, there were more gulab jamuns in the air. And then on the fourth day, the truck left.
Wow.
And that's the story. I think that's how we keep ourselves motivated, that come what may, we just have to go on. And disasters are not limited just to the people outside us. Disaster will happen in our life also. You know, these days in the shape of COVID or displacement or fire or flood, whatever. And we just have to go on. We just have to find solutions for that. And we have to, maybe after that, we have to increase even our pace, because we have to recover that, you know, what we lost. And I remember a lot of people starting, some beautiful people started campaigns, let's rebuild Goonj, let's rebuild Goonj, right? There were 6,000 shares of one of the posts. Even Huffington Post picked up that post. I had to write back to all the people again that there is nothing like rebuilding Goonj. Goonj stands as it is. There is something, some mishap happened in Goonj, and we all will do this. Don't send us money right now, right? No, because we don't have to create a building for ourselves. As of now, no. Once we need it, we'll tell you. But don't go in the public and say, let's rebuild Goonj. We don't want any sympathy, nothing at all. Stand with us. Let's do it together. Let's collect more material. Let's collect more material so that we can fight it out, because this is the peak of the winters.
Beautiful,
you know.
Yeah.
I will just say that I think there's so much work to do in our country. I think so there is, can't be any point, I think, not just for us, I think for every one of us, especially I believe that we are in that point in history where I think if you had to think of a good time to get up and do something, we are in a collective crisis. We are in a disaster. I think everyone has to do something. I think people who thought that, right now I'm like 30 or 35, I'll do something for the country when I'm 60 plus. That moment may not arrive. The 60 plus, the 35 saal, 35 years going ahead, nahi hoga. This is the moment where everyone needs to do something. And I think that realization that if we don't do it, I don't know who will. Because the people who are in the villages of India are struggling to even survive. We are the ones who has food on their table, whose stomach is full. So it is for all of us to do. I mean, I don't think there's a choice.
Yeah. A huge respect, Meenakshi, Anshan, your entire Goonj team for doing what you're doing. And really torchbearers, I should say, because yes, much more has to be done. And if I can say, this is just a beginning. And thanks for showing up the way. I just want to read one comment from Radha from California. She writes, "Dear Anshu and Meenakshi ji, I'm thankful for all the work you do and with so much love. You really are embodying Swami Vivekananda's statement, let the giver kneel down and offer and receiver stand up and receive. It is a privilege that you are able to serve. Much love to you both." Radha from Bay Area, California.
Yeah. A lot of gratitude.
Yeah. And also with that, also would like to offer, do you think anything service space as a community we can do to Goonj, to you, anything which comes to your mind, please do tell us. If not now, later also, we are really open. And if anything comes to your mind right now, do share with us before I hand over to Jignesh.
We are not only the silent admirer of service space, we are the admirer of the service space and the way this beautiful space is coming up. And as I said, that right now you need more space just to listen, just to have some calm talk, fine. And then for a person like me, these are very important spaces, because otherwise I'm like always, you know, all that so-called anger kind of stuff. So this gives a lot of peace to a lot of people. And the goodness has to spread, and we need to say that fine, this is just a phase, it will get over. And then any phase which gets over takes away certain things and gives us something. So if we just take the positive of the virus phase, which is inevitable, it had to happen, it is happening. We have a lot to take. And service space kind of place is such a beautiful forum to spread those messages. I think that's the beauty of, and the way you guys take it up, speak, spread. I think that's what the need of the hour is.
Thank you. Thank you once again, Anshu, Meenakshi. It was really a privilege for me to listen to all these things and really feeling really delighted about it. And thanks to entire Goons team. I'm sure most of you are watching this. So thank you for all the good work you do and really kudos. So with that, over to you, Jignesh.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It has been one of the most beautiful Sunday mornings for me personally. And I'm sure for the whole team to be holding space with all of you and to really, you know, listen to this wisdom, which is coming like just straight directly from the heart. And just so much of, I mean, I'm just so grateful because it's rare to really, you know, see so much vulnerability, humility, and strength coming out at the same time, and so much love. Like you spoke of dignity, but I could just feel so much love and just so much presence, so much honesty. And I have been just kind of, you know, just writing notes and, you know, just writing notes and just taking the pearls of wisdom from what you shared. But to be very honest, it's the presence, it's the honesty, it's the life, it's the service that you bring to all of us. And I think that is what has created this collective space for us. And it's actually the wisdom of the collective which is coming together. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, Meenakshi. And thank you so much, Anshu, for spending this time with us. And we would really, as service space, as like what Gopal mentioned, that, you know, in any which ways, you know, do let us know that, you know, how can we serve Goonj? How can we serve you? And we would really be happy to come back and see what we can do in our limited capacities. And with that, we'll close this call with a minute of silence. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to a recording of Awaken Calls. To access archives, visit us at www.awaken.org. And to get more involved, volunteer at www.servicespace.org.